Hi, I'm Nicola.
And I'm Jay Percy.
And welcome to the Afro-Animist podcast.
We are two animists and spiritual practitioners exploring the secular through the spiritual, discussing life experiences through a sacred lens.
Each week we share our experiences and dive deep into everything in life, from philosophy, metaphysics, Abhya, occultism, shamanism, culture, healing, nature, animism,
the arts, pop culture, conspiracies, psychedelics and witchcraft. Nothing is off the table in these discussions, which aim to get to the heart of what it means to be spiritual and Afro-diasporic in an increasingly sterile and authoritarian world.
We keep it real whilst exploring the biggest mysteries of our multiverse. Join us holding this space to laugh, cry, debate, build community and tear down oppressive structures.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Afro-Animist podcast with me, Love.
And me, Nikki.
We're talking about girl. We're talking about girl bossing today. Girl bossing, because if you're a millennial woman, if you are perhaps even in that Gen X or Zennial, or even hit that sort of like older Gen Z category, you would have been just like inundated with messages of like, you got to be on your grind, girl. And we're done.
We are done.
I think we're all collectively done. I'm coming across so much more content where it's like, I'm done. You know, my menstrual cycle has not been thankful for this. My level of burnout has not been thankful for this.
Yeah, just life in general doesn't enjoy
yeah.
the stress. I think, like when you said this to me the other day that you wanted to record girl bossing, obviously I came back to you and I was like, yes, because just the fact that it's called girl bossing yeah. bothers me. I'm a grown fucking woman. No one's going to call me a girl boss. Like, I'm a woman. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you wouldn't go, you're a boy boss. You go, you're a man.
Yeah.
I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Like, what? I'm not a seven-year-old running a lemonade stand.
It's almost like we've been given dolls to play
That's
with.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's just that level of like, oh girl, you want to be in charge? You want to do stuff for yourself and run your own business? Okay, girl, here you go. You can do it. That's cute. It isn't.
Yeah.
Women are literally some of the... Anyway.
Yeah,
best
okay.
things in the world.
So first things first, the term, belittling.
Belittling.
Second things second. It's like, we don't want suits and offices anymore. We want chickens and fields.
Oh my God, give me a field.
So there's very there's very interesting discussions around this, because I do feel like you're seeing, especially after lockdown, you're seeing a lot more women who are like going, no, I'm returning away from that old life and I'm turning back to homesteading and mm-hmm. hearth and home. And I feel like a lot of it is being labelled really right wing.
Yes. Yeah.
Sort of that, like the right wing has infiltrated this spiritual movement and then come back in and usurped it with these like traditionalist views that essentially serve patriarchy. And I do to an extent agree a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just like, how am I going to put this so it actually makes sense?
You know what? Say it how you say it, we'll get there with you. Please always remember, our views are our own.
Our views are our own. We don't even sometimes share the same.
No, like, no. And we're not advocating for you to live a... Remember, we're not gurus here.
No.
No. Do what you want.
Do what you want. No one's saying...
Wear the suit.
Exactly.
Girl boss.
Wear the suit. Girl boss. Like, whatever makes sense for you, 100%. But what it is when you live in a society that has confused all of the standards and tells you that you should be able to do things in a specific way, which actually, like, no one can do because
yeah.
we're not superhuman, like, in that way.
Yeah. And we're not uniform
And
humans.
We're not uniform humans. And it's just, there's a standard. So this is the same. This is the same idea, I feel like, as being told you have to go to uni, because if you don't go to uni, you won't get a job.
You
have to buy a house, because if you don't buy a house, you've got no stability. Oh, hang on. So I'm now sitting in this house for 40 years struggling to pay that mortgage. And if they take it away from me, they take everything I own. No spare cash. Like, you've got to have that car. You've got to have your kids by that age. You've got to get married. It's this standard of like, this is what everybody should do. And that doesn't work for everyone. I guess that's what we always talk about. You know, it just doesn't work for everybody. And I think the place where people are saying about it being conservative, right wing, I understand.
Well, or small c conservative.
Yeah. Because this is it. Because we have, in our country especially, we have like just these two modes of thought. It's like you're conservative or you're liberal. Mm-hmm. And there's no, well, I mean, we have the Lib Dems, but whatever. Yeah. There's not really a space in between. They confuse themselves.
Yeah, there's no nuance in between the...
And the reality is that us millennials have been like, you know, we're liberal, we're left wing, we're pushing, we want everything to be individual, we want to be able to do everything for ourselves and achieve our thing, and we should be able to do it. Mm-hmm. I agree with that, but I also understand the conservative movement. And this isn't saying I'm a Tory or I'm right wing. What it is understanding like just that word conservatism, and how we've used that in community. Like, actually, the conservative ideologies fit so well in the spiritual ideologies because they are all about grassroots fucking community. Yeah. Everyone doing stuff as a community rather than as an individual. And one thing that I've really realized as an adult is I need that community. Like, I cannot function. I mean, I do well. I live alone the majority of the time. Like, but the reality is that everything's just that little bit harder.
It's the hyper-individualism of neoliberalism, which, you know, maybe for the 80s and the 90s and some of the noughties, it felt like a really good way to go.
Yeah.
To be able to, like, stand on your own two feet, be this, like, super successful, lapelled woman who... you know, doesn't take no shit from a man and doesn't need a man and doesn't need the family and doesn't need that. Like, it's just the, you know, the money, that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it feels a bit hollow. It feels a bit hollow in places. And I think us as children, who I guess descend immediately from that generation, descend immediately from the viewpoints of the 80s and the 90s, like, that's just not the world we've come into. We've not come into a world where, you know, working really, really hard is a surefire way to get you something.
Mm.
It's now no longer just about working all hours. It's about working a particular way as well.
So, if you want to help us out, guys, we work all hours for no money. We're bringing you this wonderful, wonderful podcast, which we know you love. Buy us a coffee. Link is in the description box. Anyway,
of course, please do. Listen, we put so much effort into this podcast, and I think now is about the time where we start saying, if you are, like, really enjoying this, if you're consuming the content each week, then, you know, please do feel free to buy us a coffee, because... as much as we're not like out here girl bossing it, like, we do need we need to run
eat.
This thing.
Yeah, we need to eat.
We do need to eat.
And you guys know how difficult that is for me.
I'll do it.
Topical joke. Look at last week's episode, you'll get the joke.
Listen, I know some women who are absolutely girl boss, but there's still an element of them. But they're like, I'm feeling burnt out, or I'm not feeling 100% comfortable in these environments, and I need to find a way to, like, make a mark in the world. And this is what some of this podcast is about, right? It's about helping you to think about where you're standing in the world in terms of your spirituality in relation to your day-to-day.
Mm.
Just going back to what you said earlier, this idea of traditionalism and conservatism. I just can't. I think we need to emphasize, like, obviously, we don't label ourselves to those particular things. We all have our ideas of what kind of life we want for ourselves.
Exactly, yeah.
But a little tangent on that, I do think, depending on where you are in history and what is popular or not at the time, the mainstream media will find a way to latch onto the thing that is not popular and label the counterculture as that thing. Mm. So in the 60s, there was a big movement against hippies, right? So they were considered really leftist. So as an insult, they'd be called commies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those same people who have those similar views, who are perhaps a bit anti-establishment, don't really want to be a part of the system that says you have to be hyper-individualized. Perhaps they do want this idea of a traditional family. And they do want this idea of, like, homesteading and focusing on those traditional values. They're now being labelled, these spiritual people are being labelled as right wing, because right wing is the unpopular thing right now.
Oh, so, the irony.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a matter of these people fit into right or left wing. I just think whatever is unpopular at the time, the media latches onto that and is going to label you appropriately.
Exactly.
So anyone now who has all of those values probably would have been called a communist
100%.
Back in the 60s. But now they're being called conservatives, traditionalists. Obviously, this is not what we're talking about this episode, but you know we like to go on our tangents here. And
sorry.
We want you
it's
to...
nothing about a tangent. It's nothing about a tangent.
This all links up, right? Because it goes back to girl bossing. This idea of we've had so many years of all of this music and all of this media going, I don't need a man. You know, I can do it on my own. We are both children of single mothers.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't wish that shit on my enemy.
No fucking way. It's actually been like one of my biggest hopes and dreams has been that I can have a family with two adults there to support. Because like, yeah, what did your mum go through? How hard was that?
She was just stressed.
She was stressed all the time.
My husband as well. He comes from a single parent family. His mum was stressed all the time. His sister... we've got loads of different family members where it's just parents have been like really stressed
out
in the pursuit of this like super, I mean, some of it for us was like out of necessity.
Yeah,
so
100%.
You know, it's not like no one's here sitting saying, oh, single mothers, no one's
no,
doing
like,
that.
My mum didn't go, oh, do you know what would be great for my life?
Do you know what I'd really like to do?
Like, do you know what I mean? She didn't do that.
Yeah.
She, you know, but she stepped up to the plate when she had to be on sole care.
But it also means she had to take on two roles. Mm. And I think we should be quite specific in saying two roles here as well.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, I would have been happy having two gay dads if that meant I had two parents who loved each other and weren't
100%
stressed out.
Don't matter. Just as long as there's enough to...
enough adults in the environment to de-stress things.
I had, like I said to you earlier, like I was lucky in that, like, my aunt... Like, we call her mummy too. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, my aunt was there from, like, always. I lived with her up until I was... you know, in my teens, and then we had a couple of years where we weren't together and she moved back in, and then she moved out when I was like nearer to being an adult.
Mm-hmm.
She was there and her support mm-hmm. meant that my mum could go off and do work and she could go off and do different things, and that, like, in that way she wasn't a single parent, but in many other ways she did, obviously she carried them all of that. But having my aunt there, like, I now see that as like just such a blessing for my mum, because like how would she have done it? My mum worked like for 35 years at the job center. She made probably about 17 grand a year, and she raised three children.
They are not paying most people well in inner city London.
No, of course they're not. It's the government, of course they're gonna be like,
well, so what happens when you want a higher paying job? You go to the job center to...
Well, what my mum did is she didn't like it, she didn't take any promotions. Like, so you can make more money there, but not that much more money. Like, but it was just that. It was like, when I think about what she did, I'm actually in awe, because like you guys know, I've got this dog and I struggle on a day to day, just it just being me looking after him, you know? And I just think, it makes me think, like, how do you do that with children? Like, I mean, I literally have so many women I can look at and go, okay, that's how you do it. But I still don't understand, like, emotionally, like, even in the space when her and my dad broke up, like, and the heartbreak.
Yeah,
when I broke up with someone, I got to spend like 6 months in bed. Like, I can't.
Do you know what I mean?
Like,
and then
how are you gonna look after
look after kids on top of it?
And also, they're not like my mum never said a bad thing about my dad.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? She should have, but she never said a bad thing about my dad. And just to be able to do that,
yeah,
it's like there's just so many levels, and it's like, you know, things that I think we lost out on in a sense because I had a mum who had to just do everything. Is there certain things like food? You know, so like, what are we eating for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she fed us well, but a lot of the time it would be from the freezer, you know, like chips and pizza and all that kind of stuff, because she'd be at work all day, she'd come home, she'd have to tidy up, look after us, put the dinner on. It's just like, I think this whole idea about
doing it yourself
is such a scam.
Like, it's a scam. Such a scam. I don't care, girl, boy, non-binary, doing it for yourself, no.
Then even us doing this.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I could not do this on my own. Like,
no.
seriously,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I love it. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Like, it's, but the workload is so much that to have someone to share with, someone else who can see the vision and bring your ideas in, and just even just to discuss, like, oh my God.
Do you know,
like,
there is something really shitty about hyper individualism, and I think it is in it, that is the part of like girl bossing, which is just like, it's no. And just a bit to backtrack on the family stuff, we're by no means saying, oh, you know, if you're in a relationship with a shitty partner and just for the sake of having two parents in the house, you should stay.
No, not
saying that. But like, if you have the opportunity to have a network around you, an immediate network, then that's, I think, what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. We saw a post today from...
I love
her. Do you want to get it up?
Tiana Lee McQuilla, you're my favourite.
Yeah.
Oh my God, does she listen to this? I've literally done.
She's the author of the Hoodoo Tarot, and it's the tarot deck that I use. And I absolutely love it as a tarot deck. It's so, it's amazingly beautiful. And it's, I want to see if we can get this on camera. So Cardi B says, doesn't matter if you're rich or not, she has to cook for her kids, whatever and whenever they demand it. So is that,
can you see it?
There we go. So we got a lovely family picture of Cardi, and this caption came up right at the right time when we were like, we're going to do this episode on girl bossing. And I think, do you know what, it's going to be controversial to people. I saw a lot of women actually mad at this, because in Cardi's lyrics she says she don't cook or clean. First of all, Cardi B, the empowered hoe that don't need no man and lives her life any old kind of way, is a character.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go into this. First of all, there has been this new archetype of a very specific woman, or specific versions of this specific highly individualized woman, that's been put out into the media,
mm-hmm.
and that we've been told we should aspire to.
Yeah. Rich hoe.
Rich hoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the very... rich sort of stoic woman. Felicity is probably a bit old for
Felicity
was a sitcom, like a drama.
Oh, I don't know.
This idea of like a quite self-assured, like, single lady about town.
Yeah.
It's a character.
It's a character,
and it's a really hard character to keep up, because we're not characters, we're humans. We're humans with nuance and changing desires, and perhaps you want a man one day, perhaps you don't. Perhaps you want one one day, perhaps you don't. Perhaps
maybe you want a house full of men just to have whenever you want. Throw a girl or two in there. Sounds like a great party.
She's used her full government name here, and Belle Callis Almanzar is a wife and a mother that doesn't allow her own children to listen to her or her friend's music, and nourishes her family with some arroz con pollo. Okay?
Chicken and rice.
Yeah, it's chicken and rice. Yeah.
There's a Spanish that I know.
Yeah. That's all the Spanish I know. Yeah. And donde está la playa? Because that's what you need to know. Chicken and rice, and where's the beach?
Is that what it is?
Donde está la playa? Donde está la playa?
We're just so smart.
Brilliant. Chicken and rice, bitch. It's sad that grown folks these days are no better than kids at distinguishing a product created in boardroom somewhere from a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely. Mm-hmm. Entirely. But at the same time, they make these characters, like, I do think we need to take personal responsibility, but they 100%. Make these characters so seem so real that it's easy to buy into it. It's easy to buy into the clothes they wear, the 100%. Alcohol they drink, you know, the lifestyles they live. At these meetings, they study the notes taken by some lowly overworked assistant regarding what ideology y'all are co-signing to. Then they create products to sell back to you. That's it. Beyonce, Nicki, and Cardi are married women with families that make a pretty good living, telling a certain demographic of women what they want to hear because that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone doesn't want a husband and children, especially these days, because it's not promoted as a necessity for wholeness or happiness. That which is not promoted as essential then becomes optional or obsolete, no matter what it is. No shit, humans are super simple. It isn't hard. Listen, I don't think everyone's meant to have children.
I've totally met some people,
like, you are a fucking psychopath. Do not reproduce.
Not even like that. I've met those people who are like, no, it's just not something I want to do for these reasons. So that's a psychopath.
You know what? Maybe I'm talking one end of the scale, you're talking the simpler end of the scale. But like, if you don't want to have kids, probably don't have kids, because you're not going to be in the headspace that's like, I'm going to sacrifice and pour into these.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And we shouldn't be made to feel like we're not enough if we don't do that. I think especially women, like, and I know a lot of women who are now, you know, I'm pushing 40. So it's like, I know a lot of women who are my age, 10 years, 15 years older,
Is it gone?
It just went.
It's gone.
What the fuck was I just saying? Oh, he, no, okay. He don't, we ate as well.
Don't drink
he
and drive.
He don't want children. Mm-hmm. And they are really happily in that space. Like, I just don't want to do that. There's enough kids in the world. It's not really where I want to spend my time, my money or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people like literally look at them like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I hate that because it's like, it is completely and utterly your choice. This is it. If you want to call yourself a girl boss while you're making millions, fine. You call yourself a girl boss. You call yourself a woman boss. I don't know. Mm. But like, if you want to have kids.
Or just a boss.
Have kids. If you want to be a single person and have a baby. No fucking judgment.
It's, but have your fucking networks, man. It's
have
hard
your networks.
Shit.
It's just the it's just as individuals, us understanding and taking responsibility and not just rolling with what we see in the outside world, you know, because this is it. As a performer, I understand Cardi B having a character.
Yeah.
I understand Beyonce having Sasha Fierce. I understand because that's what we do. We have to have a character. Yeah. Beyonce ain't going to get up on stage and be Beyonce who she is at home. Of course she's not. That's not fun. You know, like,
no one's watching that.
So you want that character. And I think what we do
is
we are so like drummed into the media and so confused about who we are as individuals because we're just overstimulated by what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
That then like we can't actually see the reality of people and who they are and the fact that these people are performers is literally just they are just performing, you know,
they're performative
and so it's kind of like a hard one because I agree with what she's saying a lot. Sorry, finish.
No, I will finish. I think she gets quite what I would say controversial in her opinion here, but that's up to you to decide.
It's also why we love her.
I like the fact that she just says what she
says
wants,
what
to
she
say.
Wants to say.
Listen, I think there are too many calls for us to be so measured. And I think there's a difference between being like considerate of your fellow human and like completely stifling your voice to the point that we all have one uniform robot liberal voice, which is,
oh my God,
is actually just really friggin' boring.
1984, hello.
Do you know what I mean? So this message is to the young women out there. Stop modelling yourselves after celebrities preaching the virtues of being alone or in uncommitted relationships and or dead ending their bloodlines when they're not even doing that themselves. Consider what you really want. If that's the lifestyle the trendy folks are selling, that's fine, but please do some deep self-reflection on the long-term consequences of your life decisions. Unfortunately, a lot of women in their 40s and 50s that regret not having a husband and children won't admit to younger women that they were mistaken and it's now too late. Instead, many of them are trying to compete with you for attention rather than giving you whiz, and I think that's so whack. Again, you'll do what you want, but don't forget to analyze the messages you're receiving and take note of who benefits putting certain messages out there in the first place. Someone who always benefits, make sure if it's you, your family, your community. Okay, so I like the nuance in her message there. I like the fact that she is saying, like, some women will regret it and they won't tell you. But do you know what? Other women won't regret it. Other women will get to the end of their life and be like, I never wanted kids, didn't have kids.
I lived my best life. I was on holiday. I could afford the car.
I got to travel where I wanted to. Yeah. I got to buy all the designer clothes I wanted to. Good. But make sure that if you're doing that, it's your choice and it's not some kind of secondhand choice that's coming from some like imaginary celebrity who isn't even doing that for themselves. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's there for yourself. Is it Gloria Steinem, the famous feminist?
I don't know.
Just got some book. If I've got this wrong, and I've got it wrong, some woman called Gloria, she's like this quite well-known feminist, and she wrote a book, and she was really quite a big proponent for pushing some of the feminist ideology that we see today.
Okay.
And it turns out she was like a plant for the CIA.
Oh my God, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to... Don't follow anyone... Literally just make your own decisions.
Avoid gurus, don't follow plants.
The news. Avoid gurus, follow plants. T-shirt coming out next week.
I just think, do you know what? My great-grandmother was a suffragette.
Really?
She was, yeah. Granny Rosie.
That's amazing.
She was very clever. So, like, thank her. Thank these women for working really hard to get us the vote. And I personally don't have an issue with the word feminist. I don't personally have an issue identifying as a feminist, but it's not something like I'm really like jumping up and down and saying I'm a feminist. If I were to pick a word, actually, it would be womanist, which more aligns with the idea of the African diasporic struggle and how race incorporates into that. So I'd probably say I'm more of a womanist than a feminist.
Explain that more if you can for the
listeners. Traditionally, feminism seems to stem around white woman feminism.
Yes. Okay.
Which, you know, it's obviously going to be a really good thing for white women and having them liberated within a patriarchal society, which does have its benefits because, unfortunately, the type of society we're in, it needs to kind of happen within that mainstream hegemon before it happens for us,
yeah,
brown and black folk. Yeah. So good for them for catching on and, you know, making everyone equal among themselves, and we have to kind of just do for ourselves, right? Whatever. But by the virtue of, this is so weird explaining, by the virtue of them having their own freedom, it makes it more palatable for them in their positions of power to understand that we should have ours.
Yeah.
Which, whether you like it or not, is unfortunately the structure of the society we live in. Yeah. I'm not saying it's good, it's bad. I'm just saying these, I'm just laying out, these are the damn facts.
Yeah, they're the facts.
So
yeah.
Womanism really, I guess it comes before intersectional feminism, because intersectional feminism is a part of fourth wave feminism. First wave feminism being where women got the vote. Second wave feminism, where you have women being given more working rights and being able to like have the credit card and being having to have the same like rights in jobs as men, so they can actually get a fucking job. Third wave feminism, I think, is more around like you're looking at like the sort of reproductive rights thing.
Okay.
And fourth wave feminism tends to be what we see today as feminism, which talks about the intersectional feminism. But the fact that intersectional is now having to be put on as a prefix just goes to show that feminism within itself wasn't necessarily for the liberation of anything but white women. Because my great grandmother, she was a suffragette, you know. They were trying to get the vote for, they were trying to get the vote. When they got the vote, they got for white, the vote for white women first. Yeah. They didn't get the vote for everyone. It was just white women. So you have these different stages, and now we're looking at intersectional, but womanism comes before that, where within this idea of feminism within the black community, black women have always had this idea of, you know, knowing that they're supposed to be more of a balance in terms of the matriarchy, patriarchy,
yeah,
and them having a position of power themselves.
It's just so interesting you say that, because as well, like, this is something that, yeah, coming from a West Indian background, like, I really see it. You know, I see my grandmother being the matriarch of the home, like, and that's, she worked as well when she came over here, but it was that, it was like the home was her domain, that space was her domain where she raised her kids, she, you know, looked after the space, looked after my granddad, whatever. And that can, I just, so I've got so many thoughts about this, my brain's moving in a really funny way. I actually really appreciate that I got to see that, because I feel like in ethnic families, you kind of have to do that. I mean, you think about them, they came over in the 60s, they both had to work, but then my granddad worked more because she was having babies, right? So then it just, that's what, you know, we know that's how it kind of happens, so then she stays at home, but the, it's this thing of like feeling like you're disempowered if you stay at home. Like, you don't have to be even be the woman. Like, I know people who are in relationships and the woman goes out to work and the man stays at home and looks after the kids.
I've got a family member who, his wife was like banker.
Yeah.
So
it's like, why
she
is he going to work?
Why is he working?
This is what I mean. So it's like, just so long as there's some, you know, these are different domains. I almost look at my life as like that, like different realms, you know? So like, there's a home, and there's a Nikki that is at home, and how I live at home and what I have to do here. And then there's a Nikki at work, and, you know, all these different kinds of things. And I think it's really, really empowering to be able to choose.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? I don't feel disempowered by it.
That was the basis of feminism. Before there was this CIA injecty, like, all women are supposed to be in the boardroom. Like, no, maybe some women are meant to be in the boardroom. Maybe,
I mean, I think anyone should be able to be in the boardroom, yeah, but we shouldn't be made to feel like if we're not, we're a failure.
Do you know what really bugs me? A lot of the rhetoric online, and there are a couple of people I know who have this rhetoric, and I don't think they realise what they're advocating in being so militant with their idea.
Yeah.
That, you know, people are too, women are, you know, too invested with the getting married and having kids. You know, they should focus on their careers. You want them to focus on making money for someone else and boosting capitalism instead of dealing with their immediate community. Do you see the problem in the messaging there?
Just a little bit.
It's not even a matter of, when it comes to your personal choice, that's what you're choosing. Mm. But it's the fact that you've got people who are so ride or die for this specific version of feminism. And I say feminism because it's not feminism. Feminism is about choice. Feminism is about being able to select what you want to do for your life purpose within this society.
Within this society, exactly.
So when it comes to a point and you're going, oh, you know, she's decided to go and have all of those babies instead of focusing on her career, it's like, maybe that's what she wanted to do.
Did you know what? I'll talk about my mum again, right? Because she worked her entire life. She's had to take medical retirement early because she's very sick. Like, she worked her entire life. But I tell you, the one thing she wanted to do was be with her kids. Like, that's the one thing. And she will say that to you now. We're her biggest thing. We're the thing that she's the most proud of. Where she grew us and she raised us, and we actually turned out right.
But there's a lot of people who really don't like that view. That the thing I'm proudest of is my kids. I've known women to like scoff at that, and that just,
it makes me sad. Because I'm like, it's such a hard thing to imagine. Like, I have this dream now, and to be honest, it's a dream that's arrived as I've got into my later 30s, where I'm like, I just dream about like my kid. I have these little fantasies where I'm like, you know, thinking about 30 years time when it's Christmas and my grown-up kids are there, and maybe their kids. And it's just when I think about that, it brings me so much joy. I'm like, oh my god, I want that. Like, I want to have this family that I grew and I raised and like put into the world and gave them like what they needed, you know. It's just like, to me, that what could be a bigger achievement is literally like in our genetic code to want to do it.
But you'll be looked down upon and actively ridiculed for that being your proudest achievement. Oh, why wasn't it your career? Why
I'll fucking smack those people, like, come to my face and say it.
Like, I love my art. I love this podcast. When it comes to having a family, like, that's going to be a different source of pride. And I'm not going to be able to tell you right now how I'm going to feel in comparison from that to that. Like, when I get there, maybe there are these like feelings of like overwhelmingly joyful, where it's like, this is the best thing I have done with my life. Maybe it does get to that point. Maybe you should just let people have those views. If they want to say the proudest thing I've done is my kids, good, let them. One thing I won't personally do is vicariously live through my children.
I might do a little bit.
Yeah.
I might do a little bit. Why not?
What, you're going to chain them to be a gymnast?
They are definitely. There are some things those kids that look, spirit children, this is what's going to happen when you come down. You are going to be amazing martial artists, but also excellent meditators. Like, you're going to understand the philosophy of the Tao. And you're going to be gymnasts. You'll basically be prepped to, like,
you're raising ninjas.
They're going to be ninjas, but they're also going to be highly intelligent. A stars only. Maybe I shouldn't have kids.
Do you know what? You'll figure it out when you get there. But
just in 10 years' time, you're going to be calling me like, Nick, little Tarquin is like so depressed. Can you please just like tell him it's okay? He got 5 A stars. Back the fuck off.
Tarquin.
It's not happening. Maybe.
For God's sake.
Look, if he... I just need to say this. No.
No.
If I call him Tarquin...
I will support you.
No, I'm just saying, like, but it's... What a name. Like, you might not like it, right? But just...
No,
Tarquin is somebody.
Yeah. It's a very... it's a Beyonce name, isn't it?
What do you mean a bit?
Like, no one else is going to have that name in the class.
No one else is going to have it.
And
no one else is going to have it. Although it depends on how popular the podcast gets before I have a kid. Because say if all of a sudden, like next year, we've just got so many people love it, there'll be a few Tarquins. How egotistical is that? I'm literally like...
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, my God. Listen, I think I'm going to have to reevaluate whether I'm on board for this when it comes down to it.
Don't let me call him
Tarquin. How does this all relate to spirituality again?
I don't know. Well, I read about the name Tarquin in a vampire book.
I'm not talking about the name.
Oh, sorry.
I'm talking about girl bossing. Life path.
Life path, yes. And we've got the mic on a djembe. I don't know how that's going to sound.
Sorry.
Life. Say this, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You're so beautiful. Like, I've literally just been staring at you this whole time. So sometimes listening. Love the lip colour.
Thank you.
Anyway, continue.
life paths. There's this idea within African spirituality and a lot of other indigenous spiritualities that there is this idea of a life path and life purpose.
Yes.
And somehow I don't see how fitting yourself into the tiny box of fulfilling the needs of capitalism is necessarily your highest purpose. I just don't.
So what you're telling me, let me get this right, you're telling me that you don't think that every single woman born since 75 until now is supposed to work in a boardroom, wear a suit, be a fucking girl boss, like extra feminine? Are you sure? We didn't all make that contract.
No, I think, do you know what? So many of us now are having fucked up womb issues.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us. Because we're being pushed to this point of, oh, shit, that's what I want to talk about. Yeah, okay. Of course. So we all have a circadian system.
Yeah.
So that is basically our natural body clock that understands when to wake up, when to go to sleep. And it's very influenced by light. So it's very important to get your early morning sunlight, go out during the middle of the day and see sunset. Because then that helps us reset our body clock and therefore our hormones. And if that's all in line, then that can help with stress, muscle growth, repair, anti-cancer, all of that stuff. We really need to be with the sun. The sun is this very beautiful spirit that we should be taking on a daily basis because we have symbiotically evolved with this thing.
Mm.
Women, specifically, people who menstruate, you have an infradian system. So an infradian system is something that, you know, you don't have if you don't have a womb, and it's a cycle. So your hormones peak and trough depending on the different part of your cycle, which means some weeks you are going to have all of the friggin' energy in the world,
yeah,
and other weeks you are just going to need to hibernate.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what you're going to need to do. So the theory is, if we're living in these hunter, or when we are living in these hunter-gatherer societies, if we were going out foraging for the tribe, it probably will be in a week or the weeks where we actually have all of the energy to do so. But if we're bleeding and if we're really tired, the tribe will be giving us space to rest and allow that. And guess what doesn't give you that? Fucking boardroom jobs.
It's just nothing in the West gives you that.
Nothing gives
honestly,
you that.
Honestly, it isn't just that they give you the space. It is demanded in a lot of indigenous societies. Now, this is a confusing thing because a lot of, when I first started with this stuff, everyone was like, oh, you know, if you're a woman, you have to go off your period and not do things. Then that's negative because you should be able to, obviously, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
When I actually started working in this way and talking to the elders of these traditions, they go, no, it's not about banning you from doing stuff. It's about the fact that your energy is, like, the energy that you're drawing in when you are bleeding is so massive. Somebody who doesn't bleed does not understand that power, like, but we also don't understand it because we're told to push through it. So there's a gift in being able to see
whole
with
body
it.
Form adverts
100%. But it's like, even this, they would be like, you know, when I do my vision quiz, they're like, no, as soon as you start to bleed, like, you put everything down. You don't do any, like, you're not going to clean a thing, you're not going to cook it, you're not going to get something out of the fridge, you're not going to touch anything because your energy is so strong. And what you need to do is go off and be in that space, and then everybody else takes care of you. That's when the men will cook and the men will clean and the men will look after the children, you know. And to me that makes sense. And like you're saying, having these womb issues and stuff, like, and I having, like, fought through it, you know, even like I have such extreme pain with my bleed, and I've had that since I'm a teenager, but I also would just shove a tampon up there, cry and keep going, because
play some
what,
tennis,
you know,
like in a body
that's
format.
What let's not even get started on
do some ice skating,
no,
some backflips.
No, because always are fucking pissing me off, boy. They always are pissing me off. No, they literally had an advert come out like that, was like, put on this sandwich towel, nobody will even, you wouldn't even know you're on your period. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I know, okay,
like,
I know.
I'm bleeding out of my vagina. Can we all just stop pretending like this isn't happening? It literally happens every single month. Please just let me do it.
Is it Japan or Spain that have now given 2 days of menstrual leave a month?
I think
month?
It's Spain. It Spain. Might be Port- yeah, I think it, it's Spain.
Yeah, or, yeah.
Or Portugal,
so,
yeah.
Google this, guys. We're not going to do
it. We're not doing it right now.
But there's a country that's now offering menstrual leave. And when this came out, it might have been on Shadeborough or Puberty, one of those annoying throwaway fucking news
that's,
channels
yeah.
that I'm unfortunately following on Instagram. The comments were just like, oh, this is why men don't want to hire women. This is just going to set women back. This is why, you know, women need to just stay in the kitchen. It's like,
I'm so glad you didn't see that feed.
Oh my god, it was a dumpster fire. I did not comment. I just turned off my phone, and that was enough internet for one day.
I just don't understand why. I don't see how it's so hard to understand that if something so like it's quite extreme to bleed out of your body.
It's quite extreme.
It's quite extreme. Does things like something's happening. We're talking about. We understand the circadian rhythm. Like I'm sure most people have heard of that.
Yeah.
That I don't even know what the infradian rhythm. Most people won't know about.
Yeah.
Right. But every woman or every person with a womb will experience it.
Yeah.
Right. So. Then what they've said when they've done this, if they've realised that in these whatever country it is that's done that, they've realised that then productivity has gone up. So this is the thing, if a woman has a cycle of, say, on average 28 days, right, mm-hmm. just proper average, then there will be like 2 weeks out of that month when she will be 20 times more productive than every man will be for the entire month. And there'll be 2 weeks where she won't be able to do shit. So then what do? You get the best out of those people. It's like the issue with our society is that they're trying to cookie cutter us and put us into like this thing, and it doesn't work. Like you can't cookie cutter men and women and everyone in between. Like everyone needs to be able to live in the spaces that they are in and be accepted. Like I think it's a beautiful thing, the differences between like the male body and the female body and the places in between that. Like, I think it's beautiful. Mm. Like if those places could just be accepted. miraculous.
It would be nice for them to be accepted, because going back to this idea of feminism, you know, women wanted to be in the workforce in second wave feminism because they wanted access to their own money, rightly so, but the government wanted women to be in the workforce not for their own purposes but for the fact that it's like, oh, this is double the tax money. Yeah. And that's not to say that when the people are demanding something there's no truth or purity in what they're requesting, but when there's often evidence of when the government gets involved, that the reason they want it to happen is because it will benefit the tax coffers, and both things can be true. That doesn't mean that if the people are asking for it, it's necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad thing if the government gives it to you. But what can often be bad is some of their intentions and why they're hoping for this thing to be directed in a certain way, and we need to explore these things while we're doing them, while we're striving for freedom. We're actually going to have to wrap up. I want to talk more about this. I want to come back to girl bossing. I want to come back more into feminism. I do actually want to, now we've done this, I want to do a whole episode about feminism.
I think we need to, because I really want to be educated by you as
Like, I did a lot of this in sociology in college, so I really do want to share with you what I know. But for now, you've been listening to the Afro Animus podcast. I am Love.
And I'm Nikki. Do let us know what you think of this episode. We love real conversation. So like if you have a different opinion.
And this is a bit of a slippy one as well.
It's a slippy one, it is. Like, so, you know, let us know. We like to be educated as well. We love to discuss this stuff. This is it. We're still figuring everything out, so figure it out with us.
Yeah.
Drop on our Instagram, sign up to our mailing list. We've got a lot of things coming out over the next few months and you do not want to miss. So get on that mailing list, you'll be the first to know.
Bye.
See you next week.
'Thank you, beautiful being of the multiverse, for joining us on the Afro Animus podcast.
If you want to get stuck into the conversation or have a question about anything we speak about here, join our mailing list and find us on our socials.
On TikTok and Instagram, find us at the Afro Animist podcast.
On Twitter, you can find us at Afro Animist. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Music, you can also find this talk on YouTube. Just search for us and we will pop up as if by magic.
If you're loving what we're talking about here, share, like, and subscribe. And remember to leave us a thumbs up or 5-star rating on your favourite platform.